don't catch things the first time. That's why, matter of fact, the text we're going to hear, look at one reason that God tells us that we are to preach the Word with all long-suffering. You've got to be patient because folks don't always hear it, don't always catch it, don't always pay attention, and so forth. So, you know, when we come to a service, we come into a class, anything we do, we need to be a people who seek to be intent, to pay attention. Let me give you a suggestion or two. One, clean out your ears. I'm serious on that. Some people have hearing problems because their ears are dirty. And if you're under 7 years of age, that might be really true, okay? My mother used to tell me to get the potatoes out of my ears, okay? Cassandra's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Yeah, them things that grow in your ears and keep you from hearing. Anyways, sometimes it is physical. But many times we allow distractions to entertain us. There's a number of things you can do to keep from doing that. Let me give you a couple suggestions. One, don't set so many people between you and the speaker. Now, I realize not everybody can sit on the front row. Is anybody distracting you, Miss Christina? Now, I might be a distraction. I don't know. I hope not. Okay. And you might hear Marianne back there giggling. Can you hear her? Yeah. She's got a distinctive giggle. And, you know, but for the most part, you're not going to have distractions from others because you're sitting there. And when you set farther back, you're going to have that. Now, somebody's got to set farther back, and you say, well, I'm the volunteer for that. Well, then don't blame others, you know, for that. Another thing we can do, take notes. Take notes. Somebody says, what should I write down? I can't keep up with you. Listen, I don't have everything written down either. You write down things that hit your heart and mind that perhaps is new, something that is a thought you've not had before. Okay? And jot it down. Learn how to do kind of maybe your own brand of shorthand. But take a note. Some of you take notes. It's a marvelous little tool. Let me tell you something about taking notes. You may never read them again, but you'll remember better because you did. If you're in my Sunday school class this morning, you learned something, maybe. How many kinds of learning do we have that I described? Four. Okay. And they are, can we describe them? Eye, ear, hands, feet. What we see, what we hear, what we do, and movement. Okay? Yeah. And we have kids in here. They can't learn unless they're... They're contortionists. They got to be doing that. And it drives some adults absolutely crazy. That's why God made them that way. To drive us crazy. But that's, you know, that's the way they are. So all of us are a little bit different. So we gotta learn how to zone in on some things and, you know, use what we have and allow it to work in our behalf. Well, listen, let's get at this tonight. You're in 2 Timothy, but before I read that, the book of Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, listen to these words. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Interesting. He said, ask for the old paths and make sure that you walk in them. But there were some that said, we're not going to do it. How many believe tonight we live in dangerous times? We really do. A time when men have chosen to leave the old paths behind. And I'm not talking about, you know, some things that we do that might be considered old-fashioned. I'm talking about leaving behind some of the wondrous doctrines of the Word of God. Leaving behind some of the holiness and some of the things that God speaks of in His beautiful, wonderful Word. And what do? We walk in our own inventions far too many times. Now let's listen to what Paul says. Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's writing now to Timothy. And he says these words, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. In our Baptist churches, verse 3 and 4 is taking place. Rapidly. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I pray Your work and bless in our hearts and lives. I pray tonight, O God, You might strengthen us, strengthen our resolve. Bless our fellowship one with another. May You be glorified by our lives, by the adjustments we make that will bring You honor rather than self. And we'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, as we look at these verses here, we find that there's a charge that is given to God's men. This is not an optional thing. It's an order. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the company that it's given with. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. And as we notice there with the Lord Jesus Christ, we also have given to us the judgment seat of Christ. And so in light of that, He says, I charge you to do something. And notice what it is. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. It's like a herald declaring the words of a king. It's given of the Word of God. It's taking that Word and seeking to press it home in the hearts and the minds of the people who are listening. He says that we ought to do it in season, out of season. Often I've used the term there when it's popular and when it's not. But what He's trying to get across to us is taking every opportunity and pressing for decisiveness on the part of God's people. Sometimes we use the word decision. Do you know after every message, whether you walk an aisle or not, we make decisions. And we decide whether we're going to follow it or not to follow it. We decide whether we want to criticize it or critique it, or if we want to actually contain it into our own hearts and our lives. And so here's the charge. And He wants us to be urgent about it, be ready about it. And notice what He says with it, reprove. Reprove. Interesting word. It means to bring conviction upon. And sin must be pointed out. It's not popular, but it's right. By the way, it's not done in a mean-spirited way, but it's done with an understanding and a realization that that is what separates us from the blessings of an Almighty God. There's a difference in how we can present that too. But there must be reproving. He says rebuke. That's a warning. Now sometimes people think rebuke is getting in your face. But I guarantee you when somebody gets in your face, you want to slap it. A rebuke is something that warns men, that helps them to understand, hey, they are headed in the wrong direction. And men need to know sin's outcome. Again, it's not popular, but it is right. He says then to exhort, to appeal to encourage and point out biblical solutions. God has a way for everything. And so this is a part of all that must be done. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher, by the way, whether you're a dad leading in devotions, whether you're walking down the street and dealing with your son or your daughter or whatever it might be, we have this kind of an appeal given to us. But notice something He tells us here. He says, preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with something. with all, not some, all long suffering. What's that word long suffering mean? Well, let's just turn it around, suffering long. Normally, when we have suffering come to us, we want it to be short. We want healing and we want it right now. But God says we got to do something that's going to cause us to suffer a long time. Sometimes we use the word patience with that, and certainly that's a good word. And what he's trying to say is people may not respond immediately, but keep on preaching. Brother Wells, good friend, been with the Lord now a number of years. And I remember one of the things that he taught me very vividly and would teach it every time he was here, and that was basically this. He'd say, Gene, it does not matter how many people walk down the aisle when I'm at your church. What matters is, are they still in the aisle 6 months after I'm gone? Are they still doing it? Are they still after it? Are they improving? Are they going forward? And so there must be long suffering. Far too often, God's men don't stay long enough to be long suffering. They get up and leave themselves. Then he says, with all doctrine. With all long suffering, and that word all goes with doctrine. Eh? And that means it must be a feeding to the people. All preaching is an explanation, it's an application of biblical truth. People need to be taught. And so we take simple truths and try to hammer those home. And through illustrations and different things. And sometimes you take a text and you use a portion of it, and you're not going to use all of it, but you're trying to get home one specific point. So that we might understand the importance of it. We might catch on to what is really the thought of the day. But God tells us something here, and that is there's a challenge to God's message. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't listen to it. There are some today who want a carnival. They want everything to be a Mr. Good Time. And it says they gather teachers. That's an interesting thing there. They heap to themselves teachers. Oftentimes, what that means is they're going from church to church without any commitment to any. Isn't that interesting? Or we want this or that, or we're getting this on the radio, and that on the radio, and this on the internet, and that on the internet. And listen, I'm not saying anything wrong with that. What I'm saying is, if we're substituting what God has for us in the local church God has given us to, something is wrong. Kind of sounds like this morning's message, doesn't it? But oh, how much truth there is. How we go, rather than to the fountains, digging our own cisterns, and allowing the wastewater to come in rather than that which God has for us. It says here that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They have the wrong kind of desires. They don't necessarily want the truth, but they want something that's going to make them feel good. Some people say, boy, you shouldn't call names from the pulpit. I won't say anything about Joel Osteen. That's all that he ever does. You never heard that from me, but that's all he does. And wants his people to feel real good about themselves. And by the way, you might have great crowds, but you know what? Crowds are not necessarily God's blessing. If having big crowds means that God is blessing it, then every rock concert that comes to Omaha must be a tremendous blessing from God. The Catholic Church must be a great blessing from God. But we find there's a truth, though, that takes place, and it's happening in our day and age. And folks are not allowing the Word of God to touch their ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. A change from God's methods. And replacing it with other things. We have the replacement of the Bible today. For 400 years, this book that I have in my hands called the King James Version was good and brought about many revivals. But all of a sudden, we need to change it. And isn't it interesting? We have to change it every year to another version. And so in many churches, they come together and nobody knows exactly what is being read or taught. But some replacements. And sometimes we want to replace songs with that which has simpler lyrics and more alluring melodies. And that which will make us dance and that which will make us feel good. But I want to ask you a question. What's wrong with the old hymns? And why do we need entertainment sections in our churches today? Buoyed up with flesh-pleasing beats and all that kind of thing. But these are things that are taking place. And God's people are allowing the flesh to guide as opposed to the Word of God. See how you know that's true? Those seats were filled this morning. They should be tonight. Why aren't they here? Because they don't want to be. In a few cases, very few, they cannot. But for the most part, don't want to. I have found the truth. We somehow manage to do what we really want to do. Isn't that amazing? We do it. And it doesn't matter what kind of weather it is. Preacher, it's too cold to go to church. We went through ice and snow, drove 180 miles, and sat in a stadium with ice under our feet. And I had on a snowmobile suit and a big thick hat and on great big gloves, sitting there watching 11 men battle 11 other men over a pigskin. Was that stupid? But we can't do what God wants us to do. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. We do it. God has a purpose for us to gather together to look at the Word of God. Sometimes we're not going to learn anything new. But we need the old paths. We need to just keep on trodden in those and keep on doing what God wants us to do. Amen. We're gathered tonight at the table of God. We're going to partake of the bread, which is a reminder of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting because He says, broken for you. It had all kinds of broken places as the skin was punctured with thorns, with nails, and finally a spear. But may I remind you, never was a bone broken. But He did that for us. Then we'll partake of the cup. The cup that holds the wine. Oh, not the alcoholic kind. For that is fermented. We're not going to drink rotten grape juice. But that which comes from the vine. And it's that which reminds us of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was shed for us. Amen. And God told us to come together and do that. The early church, it seemed like they did it once a week. The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians, as oft as ye would, leaving it up to every local congregation. Tonight, as we come together, and we think about what Jesus did for us upon the cross of Calvary. Aren't we fortunate? Aren't you excited that God in His grace allowed you to believe in Jesus Christ? Aren't you excited that He gave us a way to follow? To follow after Him. go to the Lord in prayer tonight. The Bible tells us that we ought to come worthily. We can never come being worthy, but we can come in a worthy manner. As we read the context there in 1 Corinthians, we read that there is a divisiveness amongst God's people. Not preached on that tonight, but I touch on it now. And when we come with that kind of divisiveness in our hearts, it seems to me from context, it's an unworthily manner. You see, unworthily is an adverb. Adverbs describe verbs. They describe action. It's not talking about whether I'm worthy of it. For all sin comes short of the glory of God. I am worthy of it only in the name of Jesus. And thank God in Christ, He's made me perfect. But are we coming worthily? That's for you to decide and determine. As we go to the Lord in prayer, perhaps you need to ask God to forgive you some area. Perhaps you need to ask somebody here to forgive you in some area, but please take that opportunity. Father, tonight, as we've gathered here this evening to just rehearse of the Word of God and things that we are to do as a church and responsibility that is mine and your people's alike, both to preach and to listen. Lord, we know that if the job is to preach, then our job is also to listen. And so often we just don't do a good job in either. And Lord, I pray that you might forgive us of that. But Father, as we come tonight, if there's animosities or things in our hearts, I pray that you might bring those attention, that we might gain your forgiveness. And the Lord, we might, as we've gathered now around this table, do so with a heart that is mended one with another. How we love you tonight. So we sang that song this morning, "Oh, how I love Jesus." How that ought to be the thrill of our soul. I pray you might bless in these moments as we partake one another and as we remember what you did for us upon the cross of Calvary. As you lived a holy life. And then you laid that life down for us. As your body was broken, your blood was spilled, that we might have everlasting life. God bless in these moments, and through it not only bring blessing, but strengthen our resolve. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask gentlemen that are going to serve to please come. Let's pray again. Oh God, as we take of this bread, may our hearts, our minds be reminded of that which you were so willing to sacrifice for us. As you gave of your body to be hung upon that cross for our sins. Oh God, give us thankful hearts, and may you be glorified by our lives because of it. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Allow me again to pray. Oh God, as we think of the precious blood of our Savior, God, how we thank You that You are willing to pour out Your life's blood for us. And Lord, I pray that we never forget. God, I remember 13 years ago we said we'd never forget. But our peoples have. And so often as Your people, we forget. Oh God, remind us again tonight how truly wondrous the blood of Jesus Christ is. We ask it in His name. Amen. Glorious Savior. Amen. You can pass your cups to one of the aisles. Just stack them one in another. They'll pick those up. Do you know the song, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done"? You know what page it's on? Can you find it real quick? What's that? Page 52. Let's just sing the first stanza of that. To God be the glory. Sean, can you just come up and just lead us? If you all stand, the Bible teaches us that they afterwards sang a hymn together. There's something about when you sing together that's just inspirational and good. And it shows a harmony between people. Not always voices with some of us, but between people. Amen. He's not done yet. Amen. All right. Hey, be in prayer for each other. You got brethren who need it. Matter of fact, if you turn around, just take a kind of a scan of the whole group that's here tonight. Every one of them.